and all of you here at Todd's Road Grace Church for doing this and for having me. I appreciate it. Thank the Lord for you all. Now, I'm particularly proud of Todd for the masterful way that he made out the preaching schedule this year. Life is good when you're preaching first. You guys that are preaching Sunday, I don't want to rub it in on you, but it must be terrible. You're going to be thinking about it all weekend, and I'm going to be enjoying the rest of the conference with these fine folks without a care in the world. But I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a blessed weekend. I pray the Lord will bless it. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, and this is the title of the message tonight and what I want to, I pray, see and answer from God's word. Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, I actually heard someone preach to me one time and others that were there that when our Lord talked about a camel going through the eye of the needle, that this was referring to an archway or a passageway that was in that area that was well-traveled and well-known to them, that they knew what he was talking about, this archway that was shaped like a needle's eye. And it was difficult to get a camel through there. If you were traveling with camels with maybe a load on their back, you had to maybe lighten the load and get them. It was hard to get them through that eye of the needle. And so the Lord used that, as they said, as an illustration of how difficult it is to be saved, to make a decision for Jesus. Religion will stop at nothing in explaining away, or trying to, the utter inability of man. Our Lord said in the context, it is impossible. That's what he's teaching. Not it's difficult. Not there's some things, you know, you're going to have to do in order to make it happen. It's impossible. With men, it's impossible. And this is humiliating to the flesh of man to acknowledge that there is nothing we can do to be saved. It seems ridiculous to religious man that God would command a sinner to do something that that sinner cannot do. But that's how God saves sinners. Christ's message to every sinner was and is, come to me. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's thirsty, come. That's the message. And he clearly said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except. He didn't say nobody can come. He said nobody can come except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. So who can be saved? This is illustrated by practically every miracle our Lord did. When he said to Lazarus, come forth. The words of our text apply to that, our question. But who? With men it's impossible. With Lazarus it's impossible. In the words of John 6:44, Lazarus cannot come forth except the Father, which sent his Son, draw him, give him life. It's the same with rise, take up your bed, and walk. With men, it's with that man, it's impossible. Stretch forth your hand. That's the one thing that man couldn't do. Why do you think the Lord told him to do that one thing? Because with men, salvation is impossible. The answer to this rich young ruler's question in the context here, he said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You know what the answer to that is? With men, it's impossible. Well, why didn't the Lord just tell him that then? He did. He did. He just didn't say those exact words to him. He went one better. He showed him instead that it was impossible for him. If left to himself, our Lord forced that young man to live the fact that he could not be saved if left to himself. As the Lord showed us that. And salvation, he's still saving us, and it's still impossible with us. Without him, we can do nothing. If salvation is an exercise of the free will of man, it wouldn't be impossible. Why would the Lord say it's impossible if he's done all he can do and now it's up to you? Why would he say with you it's impossible? It's either an exercise of your free will or it is impossible with you. It can't be both. So, and this is a vital matter for two reasons. It's vital because the very glory of God hangs upon it. If you can be saved by a decision of your free will, then the glory in salvation is yours. And God just gets honorable mention for giving you a chance. But if with you, however, it is impossible, and you are hanging upon the free mercy of God in Christ, if you are completely and utterly shut up to Christ, who said, I give life to whoever I want to give it to. If salvation is not you doing something for God, but is, as we've seen in these scriptures already, God freely and graciously doing something for you, then all the glory in saving sinners is his. Where is boasting then? It ain't fixing to happen. It's excluded. And this is why Paul said what he did the way he did in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not yours. With men, that's impossible. It is the gift of God, not of works, and here's why. Because God's going to get the glory. And you're not. And by his grace, we kind of like it that way. By his grace. This is why he said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. We're not bound to congratulate you and brag on you. We're bound to thank God. Because he from the beginning chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and faith in his truth, in his word, belief of the truth. Did you hear what he said? Belief of the truth, faith in Christ, is the means through which God's electing eternal grace is bestowed upon you freely. Also, it's the glory of God. And that'd be enough alone. But also, if you're going to be saved, God's going to tell you how. You're not going to be saved thinking you did it. He's not going to save you like that. You can't go on thinking that you need to get saved. You must be taught by God. We must be taught by God that salvation is of the Lord. And look at it again in the text. Let's look at it together in Matthew 19. This man went away sorrowful and could not follow Christ. I mean, there's a reason given why he couldn't do it. You see that? For he had great possessions. And the Lord told his disciples that the reason the young man did that is because it's impossible for him to do otherwise. The man was confronted with a choice. And that's what religion confronts people with, isn't it? A choice. It's your decision. Well, here's your decision right here. And it's impossible for you to decide anything else. If you're given the choice between yourself and the Lord Jesus, it is impossible for you to choose him over you. Not going to happen. But then, you know, the Apostle Peter in verse 27, we didn't read this far, I don't believe. But then said Peter, answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. And of course, he didn't. We'll just stop there. We'll give Peter the benefit of the doubt here. Our Lord was gracious to him when he always is. Thank God he's gracious to us. We're so stupid. But he said, we've left everything and followed you. We did what that man refused to do. Can we be saved? You see the context. Who then can be saved? With men, it's impossible. Christ just said, what that man could not do, he didn't do because it's impossible for him to do it. And Peter said, we just did it. Well, you see, the Lord didn't say it's impossible. He just said, with men, it's impossible. Oh, isn't that good news? It's not impossible. It's not impossible for you to leave everything and follow Christ. It's just impossible with you. Isn't that good? What a blessing of his grace. Because that's exactly what we do. The Lord didn't rebuke Peter for saying that. He deserved rebuke for the rest of it that we didn't read. But rather acknowledged that indeed that was exactly what Peter and the others had done. They had done the impossible. How can I do the impossible? With God, all things are possible. Now let's trace this back now in our minds. You know what we just read. Most of you are probably pretty familiar with it. What was the difference between this rich young ruler and the Apostle Peter? Well, we know that with men there is no difference. All are sold under sin. All have come short of the glory of God. There is no difference with us, but there is a difference. Our Lord highlighted the difference in the very context of this a few chapters back in Matthew chapter 16. Look at it with me. Matthew 16 and verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? You see what the Lord's doing here? He's making a distinction. There's what they say, and there's what you say. There's them, and there's you. Who do you say? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now think about this. For this rich young ruler in our text in chapter 19, for him to have obeyed the Lord and sold everything that he had and given it to the poor and counted it but dung, he would have to know who Christ is. If you knew the gift of God and eternal life, if you knew who was speaking to you, if you just knew, you would ask. You would ask me, and I'd give you. I'd give you what you need. If you just knew. He would have to know who he was. Peter knew who he was. How was Peter able? He said, we've left all and followed you. How is he able to do that? He knows who he is. That's how. Well, how could Peter do that? Verse 17 of where we just read. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. With men it's impossible. You didn't figure it out. A man didn't tell you, convince you, talk you into it. My Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you. With men it's impossible, but it's not impossible. For that rich young ruler to have obeyed the Lord and left all that he had and come and follow Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ would have had to have been worth more to him than all of his great possessions. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's what had to happen. But with men, that's impossible. How did this man find this pearl? Why was it so valuable to him? With men, it's impossible, but with God. By faith, Moses did what this rich young ruler could not. He thought his possessions were worth more than Christ, the Son of God. Judas thought 30 pieces of silver was worth more. That's us by nature. With men, that's what it is. But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. For that young man to sell everything he had, he would have to think like that. Well, how was Moses able to do that? By faith. Where did his faith come from? We just read it a while ago. It's the gift of God. With God, all things are possible. How did he know that Christ was worth more than all the treasures of this world? Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. But God the Father did, which is in heaven. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Salvation is by free, sovereign, distinguishing, electing grace. Now, does that mean we go around telling sinners you can't be saved? You can't be saved. Well, yes and no. We have to make it clear, as the scriptures do, that with men it's impossible, because we do that because, as we've seen, it's a question of who gets the glory now. And I tell you this, you know what our problem is? We refuse to give God the glory. Satan whispered, you shall be as gods. You'll decide what's good and evil. And I guarantee you the remedy to the problem is not going to have any glory in it for you and me. That's our problem. But do we tell people you can't be saved? Well, we say with men it's impossible. There's a deluded sinner that thinks that he can do anything to be saved. You'd be better to hear nothing than the gospel of this day and age that has sinners going down some kind of road or making these decisions and things. The gospel command is repent and believe. And we issue that command as ambassadors of the King, as those sinners were able to obey it, because God might just very well enable them to obey it. We know that God gives grace and power to do the impossible. If a man with a withered hand can stretch forth his hand by the power of God, the grace of God. And so we say, repent. Believe on Christ. Come to Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even though you can't come. But you can't come except, you see. And when the disciples asked, who then can be saved? Our Lord didn't say it's impossible. He said, with men it is. We are shut up to Christ. The one that we crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But turn to Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2, just verse 36. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were stabbed. They were pierced in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. The promise is unto you. And our message is repent. Believe on Christ. Confess Christ. Commit yourself to Christ. Religion would deduce in their fleshly reasoning that if these sinners were commanded to repent, then they must be able, by an act of their free will, to obey that command. But the Scriptures teach otherwise. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. They're their own worst enemy. If God peradventure, maybe God will give them repentance. And if he does, they'll say, that's the truth. To the acknowledging of the truth. If sinners are going to stop believing what they believe by nature and start believing God's truth concerning themselves, concerning God himself, and concerning how God saves sinners by free grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, God's going to have to give them something, a free gift, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you see how that Peter in Acts 2, when these men said, what shall we do? He didn't say, well, maybe God will give you repentance. He may well have been thinking that and praying for that. Maybe God will have mercy on them. But what he said to them is repent. Repent. We preach Christ crucified. We preach that what the law could not do, in that your flesh was weak and you're unable to measure up to the holy standard of God's law. What the law could not accomplish because of your sin, God sent his Son to accomplish. And to die for the sins of his people, his elect, and declaring the gospel of Christ and his finished work of redemption for sinners, we in God stand in God's stead, as ambassadors of Christ, we beseech you in his stead and command all men everywhere to repent. Be ye reconciled to God. And as we do, we pray. I guarantee you, your pastors and these men that preach to you, they're praying that God will grant you repentance and faith in God's Son. And if you're saved tonight, the reason God saved you is because he loved you from eternity. Romans 9:13, and because he loved you, he chose you to salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, and predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. And in order that you be like his Son, he sent his Son to live a perfect life in your place as your representative, to die vicariously in your stead for your sins, redeeming you from the curse of God's law, being made a curse for you. Galatians 3:13. And having done all of this for you, you see, salvation. God was saving you before he ever made you. And he's still saving you if you're saved. And he's going to plumb save you one of these days. And having done all of that for us in Christ, he brings that salvation work that was done for us home to us by doing a work in us. We experience it by his work in us. He regenerates. He gives life by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit blows where he pleases. If he's pleased to go your way, you're going to be born of the Spirit. And then you'll enter the kingdom of God. You'll see the kingdom of God. You'll give life to the soul. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, he quickens. By the power of his Holy Spirit, you must be born again. He gives repentance of sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a free gift of his grace. When he turns us, we'll be turned. He'll make us willing in the day of his power. He'll make us willing to sell all that we have and count it but dung, that we might win Christ and be found in him. With men, that's not going to happen. But with God, it happens all the time. God, who is rich in mercy. There's no difference in us. We are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, there's our text right there. With God, when I say all things are possible, don't think of it in terms of a possibility as a matter of statistics. It could happen. It's possible in this sense. It's a matter of power. It's a matter of ability. Now, it is a possibility to us because we must say with Paul, peradventure. Peradventure, God may grant repentance. But when God says, when the Lord says, with God, all things are possible, he's talking about power now. Power. Our Lord, not just saying there in our text that God just might do this. What he's saying is, if he wants to, he'll do it. He'll do it. And may we say, by God's grace, as we pray for ourselves and those that we love, Lord, if you will, you can. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I was asked once in a conversation about the sovereignty of God in salvation that I had with a friend of mine. We were eating at a restaurant, and that friend of mine, he pointed at a fellow across the restaurant, and he said, well, what about that man over there? Can he be saved? Can that man be saved? If that man over there asked you, Chris, can I be saved, what would you say to them? And I don't remember what my answer was. I hope it honored Christ, whatever I said to him, and was true to the Word of God. But listen to this. Turn with me if you'd like to Ezekiel 37, or just listen if you want to. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. Ezekiel 37:1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? That's exactly the same question I was asked in that restaurant 20 some odd years ago. Can that man be saved? Can these bones live? And the prophet answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. The only one who can answer that question, can that man be saved? Can that man be saved? Can these bones live? The only one that can answer that question is the one who has the power to give life to dead, exceeding dry bones. And the only one who knows the answer, can that man be saved, is the one who has the power to save him. I know this, with men, it's impossible. But if God will, He'd save him. He'll save him. And I tell you what else I know by God's grace. I know who will be saved. I know who will be saved. I don't know who can be. I can't answer that. I can tell you who will be. All that the Father giveth me, every sinner that God Almighty, the Father, gave to His Son in the eternal covenant of grace, from the foundation of the world, they're going to be saved. And I know what else I know about them. I'll tell you what else I know about them. Him that cometh to me, every sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, as that leper, Lord, if you will, as that woman of Canaan, Lord, I'm a dog and I don't deserve a crumb, but even dogs get crumbs from their master's table. Continuing to read there in chapter 37, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Who can be saved? I don't know, but I know who will, and I know how. Don't you? If there's somebody that you love, everybody in here, there's somebody you love. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's somebody that you love that's lost, I don't know if God will save them or not, but I know how He'll do it if He's going to. See that they hear the gospel. Like those men bearing that man on his bed and lowering him down. I know it's not right to say we get somebody to Christ, but you know what I mean? But there's something there, isn't there? There's something there. I don't know if He'll save them or not, but I know how He'll do it. Preach into these bones. Behold, I will cause salvations of the Lord. I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And God's going to get all the glory. You're going to know who's God and who's not. Thank you.
several times you quoted John chapter 6, verse 44, where the Lord said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him."